The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, May 15th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Hearts Are Full Despite Setbacks, Boys and Girls Club Persevering Amid Funding Cuts, by Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. As a social service worker without a traditional 9-to-5 work schedule, Bloomington resident Lakeisha Evans said she can emphasize how important the Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington Normal has been to her 9-year-old son, Micah. From a cultural perspective, Evans said Micah gets to interact with more kids of his race than he would at school. He is also able to benefit from counseling services offered by the organization. If I didn't have them, I'd probably have to quit my job because I don't know where else to take him, Evans said. But like many nonprofits across the country, BGCBN has fallen on hard times due to a $600,000 shortfall in state and federal grant funding and an increased demand for services. Within the last few months, BGCBN has cut its operating budget by more than $900,000, lost 26 positions, and consolidated locations into its headquarters at 1615 Illinois Street in Bloomington. But even as resources are dwindling at the club, during the 2024-25 school year, it had a wait list of about 85 youths. As families struggle to find affordable behavioral health counseling and tutoring services, CEO Tony Morstatter said his organization was first made aware of a potential loss of funding in September. In response, executive leadership met to determine how BGCBN could continue to maintain some presence for youth in the community. The decision was made to consolidate junior high and high school programs into the main facility. Vacant full-time positions would not be filled, and certain full and part-time positions would be eliminated. Although services are still offered at Parkside Junior High School, programs at Bloomington High School, Bloomington Junior High School, and First Christian Church were moved into BGCBN's main building. These decisions were painful and not aligned with our long-term vision, but they were critical, Morstatter stated in a news release. Still, our doors are open and our hearts are full. The spirit of the club and our commitment to our kids have never been stronger. However, BGCBN is now calling on the community to help keep its services alive by participating in the club's Blue Door fundraising campaign or by volunteering their time to club activities. Morstatter said the hope is to raise up to $150,000. When students first arrive at the BGCBN facility at around 2:30 p.m., staff ensure that each one has an opportunity to eat a hot meal. Morstatter said at one point, 87% of club families qualified for free or reduced lunches at their schools, and 76% represented non-traditional households, such as foster families or non-parent relatives. Currently, the organization serves about 125 students of all ages. Students also have a chance to play in the gymnasium or game room to let out any energy left over from the school day. At 4 p.m., all students visit a tech room to finish their homework. If they don't have any assignments, they can participate in a lesson consistent with the organization's social-emotional learning curriculum. Morstatter said during the COVID-19 pandemic, the need for social-emotional learning programs was compounded, which is why the BGCBN puts a heavy emphasis on being a trauma-informed organization. One resource that was created in response to this trend was a Zen Den, a special area that allows the Boys and Girls Club to bring in outside agencies that specialize in behavioral health to meet with students in a safe, isolated environment. He added that this is important for children who have experienced adversity in their lives. By offering programs that contribute not only to students' academic growth, but their emotional maturity, attendees can leave the club as caring and responsible citizens. Evans said the support offered by BGCBN isn't just isolated to the club's campus. Staff have been to events of MICA's, whether it be music programs or soccer games. They've shown support in so many ways, Evans said. Club members are treated to these services Monday through Friday until 6:30 p.m. during the academic year. Over the summer, BGCBN also offers a full-day program 5 days a week for students from kindergarten through fifth grade. The Boys and Girls Club offers several different avenues for residents to volunteer. Morstatter said the BGCBN sees a lot of Illinois State University students serving as support volunteers to fulfill clinical or observational hours needed for their class or degree. Seeing these familiar faces each week provides a level of stability for the kids. It might be one day a week for an hour at a time on a consistent schedule, and that way our kids start to build that relationship with our volunteers, Morstatter said. The Boys and Girls Club also offers done-in-a-day opportunities, which could involve supporting the organization at an administrative level or participating in a beautification project. For example, volunteers from Country Financial recently helped lay mulch at the Boys and Girls Club facility. There is no one more equipped to help us overcome these challenges than the very community we serve, Morstatter said in the news release. We are part of a powerful equation where caring neighbors, local businesses, and generous donors can change the trajectory of a child's life for this generation and generations to come. To donate to the Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington Normal, visit bgcbn.org/give. To volunteer with the organization, visit bgcbn.org/volunteer. The next local story is entitled, Man Accused of Firing Bullet at Someone's Foot, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A Bloomington man has been detained after authorities said he injured another man by firing a gun near him. Malik C. Matthews, 29, is charged with aggravated battery, discharging a firearm, a Class X felony, aggravated discharge of a firearm, a Class 1 felony, aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon, a Class 4 felony, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a Class A misdemeanor. The defendant appeared in custody Tuesday afternoon before Judge Amy McFarland for an initial appearance. The prosecution, represented by Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt, filed a petition to detain Matthews on the grounds of dangerousness. According to the probable cause statement, Bloomington officers were dispatched around 10 p.m. May 1st to the 500 block of East Monroe Street for reports of an armed subject. Upon arrival, officers found a man yelling that he had been shot. He had a small puncture wound on the side of his foot that appeared to still be bleeding, Fitz said. Officers learned the shooting occurred during an argument between the man and a woman. Fitz said she was intoxicated and pushed the man, causing him to fall backwards. Matthews entered the altercation armed with a gun, observed the verbal-turned-physical argument, and pointed the handgun at the victim, the prosecutor said. The woman came at the man again, but he was able to dodge her and push her away. Fitz said the man told Matthews, "If you're going to shoot me, you might as well shoot me." Matthews then pointed the gun near the man's foot and fired a bullet, which struck pavement next to him. Multiple neighbors reported hearing a single gunshot, but nobody saw what happened when the shot was fired, Fitz said. Shrapnel from the bullet struck the man's foot, and Matthews fled the area on foot. The man was able to get back to his residence where he called 911, the prosecutor said. The man, who knew the woman and the defendant, provided police with their names and descriptions. When speaking with detectives, the woman gave multiple accounts of what occurred and where the defendant was located, Fitz said. Officers located a single 9mm shell casing near the sidewalk and two bullet fragments on either side of the stairs leading up to the apartment. They also observed a spot on the sidewalk where it appeared the bullet had struck. During their investigation, Bloomington police learned Matthews had previously purchased two 9mm handguns from a store in Normal, one of which was reported stolen on February 2nd. Matthews was found May 12th with a loaded 9mm firearm and was arrested with help of the U.S. Marshals and Bloomington officers, Fitz said. The defendant told officers he did not see the victim with a weapon and never knew him to have a firearm. He also told them he had drawn his firearm and fired a round into the ground in front of the victim. He said he did not intend to shoot the victim, but to scare him to protect the woman, the prosecutor said. Matthews does not possess a valid concealed carry license, Fitt noted. In arguing for his release, Assistant Public Defender Mackenzie Frizzle said the judge could impose conditions of release that would mitigate the risk he poses to the community. McFarland agreed with the prosecution and ordered Matthews detained. Matthews is scheduled for an arraignment at 9 a.m. on May 30th. And here's an article entitled, "Veterans Set to Fly to Nation's Capital. Lincoln Land Honor Flight Takes Off June 3rd," by Olivia Jacobs. Springfield. Nearly 100 veterans from across central Illinois are set to fly to the nation's capital next month on the next Land of Lincoln Honor Flight event. The nonprofit organization's 74th trip on Tuesday, June 3rd, is slated to include 96 veterans, with 90 who served during the Vietnam War era and 6 from the Korean War era. The donor-funded flights are free for veterans and their families. The 66 communities represented by the participants include Beeson, Bloomington, Blue Mound, Charleston, Chatham, Cooksville, Decatur, Effingham, Forest, Fairbury, Eureka, Gibson City, Iliopolis, Lovington, Mattoon, Monticello, Mount Pulaski, Pontiac, Secor, Springfield, Tuscola, Weldon, and Windsor. Veterans and their families will report to the Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport in Springfield at 4 a.m. June 3rd and travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the World War II, Korean, and Vietnam War memorials, Arlington National Cemetery and Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Lincoln Memorial, the National Air and Space Museum, the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial, and the U.S. Air Force Memorial. The group will return to the Springfield Airport around 9:30 p.m. Friends, family, community members, and former Honor Flight alumni are invited to gather and welcome the arriving veterans, a homecoming that some did not receive when they returned from their military service. Parking at the airport is free, and a shuttle bus will be available to take participants to the airport terminal door, the organization said. Veteran and Guardian applications for future honor flights are available at landoflincolnhonorflight.org. There is a flightless honor flight program for veterans who are unable to fly. Honor flights have served more than 5,700 Central Illinois veterans. Other 2025 trips are planned for September 9th and October 21st. And next we have a local business story headlined, Canadian manufacturer opens plant in Peoria. Ontario-based EV bus company investing $31 million. By Robert Chanik, Chicago Tribune. Peoria. As Lion Electric faces liquidation and the auction of its shuttered Joliet electric bus factory, the state has announced another Canadian EV bus manufacturer will be opening a plant in Peoria. Demira Corporation, an Ontario-based electric bus company, plans to invest $31.5 million and create 90 full-time jobs to open its first U.S. assembly plant, backed by state tax incentives. The leased 55,000-square-foot facility will be used to sell, service, and build the Carsan E-Jest, a 19-passenger electric minibus with a range of 130 miles. Billed as a zero-emissions public transportation solution for suburban areas, the bus has already been deployed in several communities in the U.S. and Canada. Over the past 6 years, Illinois has pushed to solidify our status as a hub of the EV future and put our shoulder to the wheel to get that vision off the ground and on the road, Governor J.B. Pritzker said in a news release Tuesday. Through our competitive incentive programs, workforce development, and other business attraction efforts, the state is bringing in companies like Demira that not only create jobs and opportunity for our people, but commit themselves to our communities. Pritzker made the announcement with Demira executives Tuesday as part of a business development trip in Washington, D.C. The company first met with Illinois development representatives at a trade summit last summer in Maryland. Demira was incentivized to build its first U.S. plant in Illinois through the state's Reimagining Energy and Vehicles in Illinois, REV Illinois. The 2021 legislation offers up to a 75% credit on state income tax for EV manufacturers for meeting agreed-upon investment and job creation targets. As we continue to expand Demira Bus USA LLC's presence in the United States, our commitment to fostering long-term growth and job creation in the Peoria area remains unwavering, Roger DeHollander, Demira's chief operating officer, said in the news release. This investment not only strengthens the local economy, but also creates hundreds of new opportunities for the community. The company, which has its U.S. headquarters in Florida, is the exclusive North American distributor of the Carsan E-Jest. The minibus is manufactured in Turkey, and the final assembly is currently in Canada. Launched about 2 years ago, the E-Jest has about 80 buses in service in the U.S. including Nantucket, Massachusetts, and Santa Maria, a city of about 110,000 people on California's central coast, whose public transit system began using 14 of the electric minibuses in 2023. The Peoria plant will ultimately assemble the entire bus, including a newer and slightly larger 25-foot version, due out in about 2 years, De Hollander told the Tribune Tuesday. Once production on the new model ramps up, the company expects to employ 300 to 500 people in Peoria, he said. The buses cost about $250,000 to $300,000 each, De Hollander said. Illinois has made significant strides in EV manufacturing, most notably with Rivian, which began building its full-size electric R1T pickup truck, the R1S SUV, and its commercial delivery vans in September 2021 in a former Mitsubishi auto plant on the outskirts of Normal. Rivian, which is gearing up to launch its new mid-size R2 electric SUV, is expanding its plant and building in an adjacent $120 million supplier park to facilitate increased production. At the same time, Lion Electric, which announced its electric school bus factory near Joliet with great fanfare 4 years ago, is facing liquidation after a short manufacturing run. Opened in 2023 with plans to ramp up production at its 900,000 sq ft plant and create 1,400 jobs, Lion Electric suspended operations in December and temporarily laid off 400 workers in Canada and the U.S. Last week, a Canadian court-appointed monitor said the company is likely to be liquidated. An auction for the plant's equipment is set for May 21st. And here's a story entitled "Larger Than Life Memorial Day Weekend Events" by Matus Janik. Atlanta. The American Giants Museum in Atlanta will be hosting its second annual Memorial Day weekend celebration with meet and greets, tours, food, and other events. The festivities will take place May 22nd through May 26th, with the museum doors at 100 Northwest Arch Street open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. The American Giants Museum was designed and developed as a partnership between museum founder Joel Baker and the Atlanta Betterment Fund, which operates the museum, and held its grand opening during Memorial Day weekend 2024. Events and opportunities during this month's celebration include the following: meeting Baker for a Q&A session, along with other muffler men collectors and enthusiasts; talks on muffler men, giants, and the history behind these roadside attractions; exclusive merchandise available for purchase; guided tours with Baker; erecting two new giants, a Viking and a Phillips 66 cowboy; food trucks. Baker approached the fund organization several years ago with the idea of creating a museum with his collection of giants, sales materials, files, photos, and other documents as the basis for the exhibits. The museum shares the history of large fiberglass statues called muffler men in a space that resembles a vintage Texaco service station. It is considered one of the largest collections of muffler men in one place along historic Route 66. The muffler men characters were made in the 1960s and 70s by International Fiberglass Company in Venice, California. The giants varied in style, with some dressed as cowboys, Vikings, Native Americans, and more notably as Paul Bunyan and the Texaco Big Friend. While International Fiberglass Company went out of business in 1976, the Giants, which had been scattered across the length of Route 66 to help businesses garner attention and draw in customers, continue to attract tourists traveling along the historic highway. Recently, in Bemidji, Minnesota, a fiberglass giant named Nanabushu, a muffler man made to appear as a Native American, was moved to central Illinois under Baker's ownership. Nanabushu is an 18-foot-tall, 400-pound Native American with one arm raised in greeting, and was installed in 1963 outside the Morell's Chippewa Trading Post gift shop. Baker said the original plan was to spruce up this giant and have it set up in time for Memorial Day weekend. But upon taking down the giant, he realized it needs additional restoration work to make it structurally safe. Baker said he hopes the giant will be standing by next year for the 2026 centennial celebration of Route 66. Visit AmericanGiantsMuseum.com for more information and event updates. To donate toward restoration of the giant, individuals may earmark donations to the American Giants Museum or directly donate to Baker at usagiants.com. Here's an item entitled, Catholic Leaders to Stop in Bloomington, National Pilgrimage Making Its Way to L.A. by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. Catholic leaders will be participating in a national pilgrimage through the Diocese of Peoria, stopping in Bloomington on Tuesday, May 20th. The National Eucharistic Pilgrimage will make its way across the country on the St. Catherine Drexel route from Indianapolis to Los Angeles, inviting people to pray along the way. The pilgrimage will travel through the Diocese of Peoria May 19th to 21st, with public events planned in LaSalle, El Paso, Bloomington, Morton, Peoria, and other cities. At 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 20th, the pilgrimage will be at St. Patrick Church of Myrna in Bloomington, 1011 North Tawanda Barnes Road, for a Mass of Thanksgiving. At noon, the procession will continue to McGraw Park, 3202 Cornelius Drive in Bloomington, before arriving at the Central Catholic High School Stadium at 12:30 p.m., 1201 Airport Road in Bloomington, where the monstrance will be placed on the altar, followed by adoration and benediction around 1:20 p.m. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for May 15th. Please stay tuned.